Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, How to Resign, Part 1 of 2.
This cast answers these questions. How do I resign? And you'll know in detail by the time we finish that question. Do I need to resign in writing? And who do I tell? Who can I tell about my resignation?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. The future of work is evolving, and so should your skills. The Manager Tools License provides you with the tools and knowledge to stay ahead. Access to a vast library of content covering leadership, communication, and team management, all tailored to you and how to help you succeed in a dynamic work environment. Whether you're aiming for a promotion or simply want to be prepared for what's next, our license offers the resources you need to thrive. Prepare for the future today at manager-tools.com/licenses. Today's topic is an interesting one. It's a revisit. This is one of those career tools podcasts that we think of as being core to the career tools library. And today we're going to talk about how to resign.
Yeah, which nobody ever gives anybody any guidance about.
Yeah.
And almost everybody messes it up.
Exactly. And it's kind of, I mean, it shouldn't be unusual that folks don't give any guidance to people on it, because at least once in every professional's career, maybe as many as five times, frankly.
Or more,
exactly. You might have to resign from a position. And it's another one of those tasks and responsibilities that people don't talk about. No one knows how to do it. And it's done poorly.
Yeah. In fact, we've been having a conversation, an ongoing conversation, or at least I have, and I think you've been copied on it, with our good friend Trevor Woods, longtime community member, one of our very first clients, about, he was talking to his kids who are professional age now, and they're talking about leaving well and joining well and about working until the last day and how you show that you're a professional and you don't check out and so on. Yeah. People really respect that. If you leave well, you can come back.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
And folks, it's not hard to do this well. And in this series of podcasts, we're going to make it a simple step-by-step process for y'all. And if you're thinking that you know how, and this is probably too easy for you, because seriously, how hard can it be? Consider the fact that we recommend you take 6 weeks to do it well.
Yeah, that's right. It's not, I only need to give them 2 weeks. If you say it's, I only have to give them 2 weeks, you're making it about you. And, you know, if you make it about you all the time, when you actually need people to stand up and help you, there won't be anybody there to help you. Look, the average person changes careers 3 to 7 times. By the way, that's a pretty big average, 3 to 7, but that's what the data show. And some people change as many as 10 to 15 times. You know, it could be your individual circumstances. It could be economic shifts. It could be layoffs. It could be firings. It could be a better job somewhere else. It could be moving somewhere. It could be your spouse getting a better job somewhere else and you being smart enough to follow her or him. Could be generational differences. But what we know, no matter what, is that you're going to need to change your career at some point. The days of staying at one company still are possible, but are very, very unlikely. And because you're in charge of your own career, that means when a better opportunity comes along, you're going to have to choose to resign.
Absolutely. And folks, we don't want you getting the wrong idea. With today's guidance, we're certainly not trying to push you toward resigning. We don't want to resign. We don't want people to resign any more than we want companies to fire employees or lay people off. But the fact is, it's going to happen. And since doing it well makes one look professional, you ought to know how to do it. It's just that simple.
So we have three sort of big topics in the outline, and they're preparation, delivery, and interim actions. Usually, I can remember Manager Tools cast I wrote years ago that had like 14 points. It would probably been easy to just aggregate them up a level and say preparation, delivery, and interactions, but there are three.
So we'll start with preparation. And folks, this is the most important phase in making your resignation and transition one that we think is successful. The delivery phase is the most important in terms of avoiding failure, But avoiding failure is not the same thing as succeeding, as seeking success.
Yeah, and as so many things in your career, if you do the prep right, and this is, people don't know what the prep is. They think, oh, I have to prepare a formal resignation letter. No, that's not what we're talking about. If you do the prep right, the rest of it will just feel easier. You will come across in a more professional way. You will have less speed bumps that are thrown up in your way. And I've seen this happen over and over again. People decide on the spur of the moment, I'm going to resign. I've had enough of this. And then their boss says, you know, could I give you some more money and maybe get you that promotion you always wanted? And suddenly now they're back up in the air. They were just certain they were going to do it, but they didn't prepare. And so they didn't know what the various factors might be in terms of things that might change your mind. It's in the prep, this first part, that you're going to lay your groundwork for it being smooth and professional. And even if you're the best manager on the planet, you need to know how to do that too, because you may someday work for the worst boss on the planet. And so you have to follow this process every single time. The better your boss, the easier it will be. But the worse your boss is, and they're out there certainly, the more your prep will give you an ironclad process that will make you feel good about it and impress the people around you.
Absolutely. So folks, we're going to start this section of our guidance. I'm going to read to you a list of key recommendations and actions for the prep phase. So I'll go through, I'll read them all aloud, and then we'll go through and break down each of those in the order which I read them. So here are the key recommendations and actions for prep. You need to give 6 weeks. You need 6 weeks of cash. Get the new job first. Assume you'll lose access immediately. Copy reasonably. Prepare a key project report, transition file. Prepare performance files on your team. Write interim reviews on your team. Prepare instructions for your absence. Prepare a one-page interim successor document. And tell no one.
Yeah, I love that third one. Get the new job first.
Mm-hmm.
We tell people that and they're like, no, I think I've decided I'm going to resign, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to get this one. Yeah, let's take care of our families first, right?
We got bills to pay, friend.
Yeah. So let's go right down the list. First, you need to give 6 weeks. Everybody talks about 2 weeks, and folks, that is just dumb, okay? First, and let's go with the reasons why. You need to be generous by allowing 4 weeks of transition. That's just what unselfish professionals do. If you do 2 weeks or less, you're saying, I want out of here. And you're also probably saying, because they don't know the level of preparation you've gone through, I'm going to leave you a mess. When they hear that, they're much more likely to be like, well, I need to protect myself. And they're going to be much more likely to be supportive in the transition. They're also much less likely to return your calls when there's something you need from when you're at the new company and you're calling back to your old company saying, hey, I left something, or I forgot something, or hey, I forgot to tell you something. They're going to be like, well, okay. So you might say, well, wait a minute. My new firm wants to hire me right away. It's okay. You can get 4 weeks or 6 weeks from your hiring firm when you explain to them why. When you explain that you need to professionally extricate yourself, that you are very involved in a lot of things, and that you feel you have a professional obligation to finish them, to leave well, to transition your responsibility to someone else, they'll raise their eyebrows and they'll show their appreciation. They'll think, wow, this person does right by other people.
They'll and do right by do the same us for too.
Them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, recently-ish, I want to say, Mark, we had one of the members of our community ask us about, oh my gosh, what do I do? They want me right away. I want to give the right amount of time. And we recommended, you know what, dude, I know they want you urgently, but instead, just tell them you need the 6 weeks. And they were surprised and pleased by that individual's request for 6 weeks to do right by their present, I suppose, departing firm. It's actually a good signal, too.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I think about this, the idea that you could leave quickly because the other firm wants you, the other firm's being selfish, first of all, and you're basically saying, yeah. And what that probably means is it's going to be a whirlwind when you get there. the idea that you would leave somebody in the lurch and that your acquirer doesn't care about them just tells you, it's one of those little things that'll tick off in the back of your head when you discover a month or two in, wow, they sold me, this was heaven, but it's somewhere less than that.
less than heavenly, exactly.
Yeah. And look, you're also need plenty of time to get through all the stuff we're going to talk about.
Yes, exactly. So the next one then on our list is you need 6 weeks of cash.
I wonder if anybody, the moment I read that, because it's been years since I recorded this with Wendy, I'm pretty sure. The moment I read that, I knew exactly why. I wonder if our community, so ask yourselves this question, folks. When we say you need to give 6 weeks advance notice, and then we say you need 6 weeks of cash on hand, why do you think we say that? So anyway.
Yeah, okay. And the answer is you may get asked to leave right then. And if that happens, it may take you a month for you to get your check, or your boss may, in a juvenile fit of retribution, delay things on their end and ensure that it takes a little bit longer for your check. And folks, this transition in one's career is stressful enough on you and on your family. Do not add to all of the stress that will already exist a worry of cash at a time when you're going to be burning through more cash and not less cash. Having the money will allow for you to do the right things in the right order at the speed which you need them done and not feel that pressure of lack of money.
Yeah. Think about it, guys. This means for most people that there's a healthy percentage of the Manager Tools community who have written us periodically and said, yeah, I'm looking for a job. I got laid off, or I decided to resign. I'm good. I got a year's worth of savings. So if you have a year's or 6 months, you're fine. But the vast majority of people we know don't. They don't have 6 months, let alone 6 weeks. What this means is you have to start planning before the 6 weeks in order to have 6 weeks. You have to cut back for a period of time. The other thing I tell people is you're going to go to that new company and you're going to probably incur some expenses for the move, perhaps, if there's a move, which they're going to reimburse you for, but that's going to take 60 days. So that's going to drain your cash. Further, you're not going to get paid till the end of the month from the new company. If you're starting there and you're tight on money and that shows in your face, they're going to think that you have a less good situation. And it's assumed that if you're a professional, that you manage your money well and you always have a little saved aside. If you talk to your new boss, if Sarah is my new boss and she says, you seem stressed out. I said, well, actually, you know, I wasn't expecting my company to let me go so quickly because I'd built up a transition period. And so I wasn't getting paid. And now I've incurred some travel expenses and things are a little tight. If you told the truth like that, and I'm sure many people would just say, no, I'm fine. You know, if you don't have that and you say that, it would be, yeah, somebody would raise an eyebrow. They'd notice.
Mm-hmm. And you want to be amazing at your new job, right? Yeah. You don't want to be distracted.
You don't want to be thinking about something else. Yeah.
That's exactly it.
All right. Next recommendation. I laughed at this one. Get the new job first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, we think this is blindingly obvious, but there's a saying among professionals, sometimes the things that go without saying need to be said. This is not about ethics. Okay. But it is about cash, as alluded to above. Now, look, there's a separate situation. If you feel compelled to resign for ethical reasons, about which there have been very few in my entire, in 45 years, I have had 100 people tell me, well, it was an ethical thing. And when I dug in, maybe two of them passed the ethics test, meaning they really were an ethical thing. Disagreeing with your boss is not an ethical thing. I respect that. And if you disagree with your boss, by all means, resign if you've got a bad relationship and you've made your best effort to improve upon it. But our recommendation is not about ethics, okay? Wait 2 weeks and give 4 weeks notice after you have the offer and you have accepted, okay? We hear plenty of people who say, I knew then what I was going to do. Great. That's good. We're happy for you, right? And go through the process. Follow the process.
Mm-hmm. And folks, to Mark's point, you got to have a good reason. Okay. It's got to be a real reason if you're going to exit the organization And we've got a couple of podcasts, actually, to help you figure out whether or not your situation is one that causes you to have to leave, that is, without another job lined up. The two podcast names are Good Reasons to Leave Your Job with No New Job Lined Up and Bad Reasons to Leave Your Job with No New Job Lined Up. What if I'm in this weird middle space? And what if it is a good reason to leave without another job? Maybe it is. There's a podcast for that. Take a listen. It can help you better evaluate your current position, your current situation, actually, is what I should say, your current situation.
Yeah. Just don't elevate it to ethical when, in fact, that's rarely true. And suck it up for a few more months until you get your ducks in a row, because resigning without another job is just dumb. Okay? We've seen some people do it to make a point or to show off, like, and they get a little joy from their fellow comrades who are suffering under a bad boss. And they're like, I saw a video once of a guy who brought some friends in that played a marching. They were an impromptu marching band when he quit in front of his boss. And I thought to myself, never again, son. You know, if I knew who you were. And since we recommend checking people's social media, we would probably find that out. Look, resigning when it will make anything harder is dumb. Now, again, you start thinking about this, guys, you realize I've got to get more upstream here. I have to be open to opportunities even earlier. I can't resign and then go look for a job. We've got to follow our guidance about open to opportunities, start creating opportunities for myself, have conversations. Some of them turn into interviews and some of those turn into offers, and you try to decide which one you're going to do. You have to do all that before you do your resignation preparation.
Yeah. And listen, folks, maybe you're the employer you're leaving is horrible and you need to get out of there. And wouldn't it be nice if they financially supported your job search? Because that's kind of what it comes down to.
That's exactly right. I never thought of it that way.
If you stick around and suck it up for a few weeks, they are paying you for your job search. So do that instead of doing your job search when no one's paying you. It's just, I mean, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Our colleague Maggie, now in her 18th year with Manager Tools, is a diehard Clemson Tigers football fan. She's all in and has great respect for strong coaches who not only drive performance and score, obviously, but also have finesse and brilliance in relationship building. Sound familiar? In business, just like on the field, relationships are key to winning. If you're a professional or manager looking to strengthen workplace relationships and boost your career trajectory, our effective manager and effective communicator trainings are built just for you. Contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more about how you can bring manager tools to your organization.
Next.
Yeah. Assume you will lose access immediately. And this is one of those shocker moments for individuals. If this has never happened to you before, it might be like, whoa. It happened to Michael Douglas, in disclosure. And that was when he learned how powerful the organization itself was.
Yes. Yeah. And he was still working there the way it happens, but you're down to level one and not level five admin access.
Yeah, exactly. And we routinely take that for granted as professionals. We don't realize, oh, that we think that'll never happen. Why would that ever happen? But it happens.
Yeah. And this totally relates to our other prep steps to follow about gathering data. You can gather data reasonably. But thinking this way for 2 weeks, going back and forth to the office, will help you see just how much of stuff you think is yours is not. Okay? I'm amazed at the number of people who are shocked that the company takes the company phone back when they resign. That's a completely reasonable thing to do. They're not being hard-hearted or, you know, they're not trying to victimize you. They have a responsibility to protect the assets of the firm. Okay. So you made it into the phone, right? That's one of the reasons we say you should have printed out, physically printed at your house, names of contact information that you want to stay in touch with, both inside this company and people you knew before and people you met there. One more thing. You also have to be careful about work emails. You cannot use your work email on your resume. You cannot get emails from your new employer or other people making you offers at your work email, which actually would be difficult for me because I don't have a non-work email. I guess now I do.
What do you mean you do?
Yeah, Mark and SLS.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The wedding email.
Our wedding invitation email is, sure. Yeah, you absolutely do.
Even though I own the company, I don't have one. I can't. I'm never going to leave, so it doesn't
matter. That's the thing. You own the company. But I've got a different email address.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, why wouldn't you? And
everyone
should. Everyone
should.
And if you don't, just create one. And a good one. Like, not a dumb one, like... that has like a silly, I think we talked about this in a recent podcast, Mark. My sister used to have an email called batbabe@gmail.com because she really likes Batman. Like, make it like your name, like sarahhorstman@gmail.com. Like something standard that you can use on like applications and on your resume and that is not your work address.
Exactly.
All right. That takes us then to copy reasonably. And folks, there have been court cases where an employee made copies of work product. And the courts upheld their right to make these copies. And it's okay to put on a memory stick within reason some of the work that you'd like to keep. Now, if it's proprietary, sorry, you lose. You cannot copy and take that with you. And you can take some contact information, in quotes, some. So, for example, you can take a few, but more than 50 contacts? No. Too much.
You can't download the directory.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You just can't. That's work product. That's confidential work product. And I will say this. There actually have been some cases where the person printed something out and they printed out an image so that they weren't printing out the underlying code that created it or the logic in the spreadsheet that was a competitive advantage.
Like a screenshot, you're saying?
Yeah. A screenshot. Yes. Because they had created it and they wanted to be able to prepare interviewing answers and have that. And the court said, yeah. And also it was a case where the work that was behind the scenes that the company was saying went into it, and they were right, was work that the person who took the screenshot, the image of it was, could not do. It wouldn't matter if he knew the code or the VBA that was going on, shoot, I always forget what's the Microsoft product that everybody loves so much? Not Business Analyzer, but anyway, doesn't matter. They've got a fantastic product. It's Biz something or Business, I don't know. And if we were a Windows shop, we would know, but we're a Mac shop. Yeah, so yeah, you just got to be careful.
Yeah, and folks, to Mark's point, if you're worried about, am I overstepping with electronic stuff? Fine, print it. Print it out.
Yeah.
And I hope folks at this point can see the need for the 2 weeks deadline now, because it's going to be so much easier for you to copy one or two things a night, move a couple of things to a flash drive over the course of time, and do so quickly, easily, quietly, without raising red flags, as opposed to quitting in a huff, losing all your access, and voila. Not having access to anything.
Yeah. Now, if you insist on printing it, don't print it at the office. Put it on a memory stick and take it home and print it at home. It, depending upon how much you're printing, if you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of pages and you have to put a login there and then your boss goes back and checks, he's going to have somebody from security call you and say, we noticed you printed 600 pages. Look, we don't want to sue you, but we will. And by the way, they pay lawyers and you don't. So it's not that hard for them to have a subpoena to say, please return all the things you printed. And now you're going to have to go out and copy them anyway. And then unfortunately, they're going to say, have you copied these? And you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to lie. And there's a rule about subpoenas and courtroom dates and so on. Don't lie. It makes things a lot easier. And by the way, the one that goes in front of that is, don't do anything you'd have to lie about, and then you're probably just fine. So next thing, you need to prepare a key project report, a transition file, basically. And in our opinion, this is where professionals really stand out. They shine and they separate themselves from people who are amateurs or going through the motions. One of the signs of a leader a manager tools leader is that they lead so well that the team thrives even after you're gone. Okay. That's a high standard, but you should be helping the new manager, even if it's somebody you don't like, because that new manager will determine the quality of life, professional life, work life anyway, of your former team. And unless you're a cold-hearted you-know-what, I can't imagine you wishing less effectiveness, less joy, less appreciation, less quality of work life on your team that you've been working with for a couple of years. It just seems crazy. And this is true. I happen to be focusing on the manager bit now, but this is also true if you're an individual. Prepare a key project report on what you're doing, where you are, what your deliverables are. Hopefully you have a spreadsheet or something that says, this is all the things I own, and here's my status, and here's my work, and so on.
Yeah, because to Mark's point, if you're an individual contributor, do you want to visit all of those ills on your past colleagues, your peers? It's probably not about them. They're probably not the reason you're leaving. They're the people that will have to clean up if you leave a mess in your absence. So, folks, you should prepare a transition file folder. So it starts with a key project report, an overview of team or your activities, the status of those activities. If it's only one page, it's too short. This is a good general rule. It should include spreadsheets of status, presentations with notes of status, issues, politics, relationships, all of the things that you can imagine that the person who comes after you could benefit from, or the things that would help them recover and take over the team in your absence, if you're a manager.
Yeah. Also, don't just say, this is what I'm working on. Describe what you have planned for the next 90 days or so. You're not trying to get them up to speed, like current to today. You're trying to help them do your work for 90 days or longer until they can figure out what the actual official way forward is for the workload that you have left behind. And that's exactly what you've done. You've left workload behind. Now, typically, these situations resolve themselves very easily. Unfortunately, a lot of managers mistakenly believe, I've lost somebody, so therefore I have to hire. But the smart manager goes, maybe there's some stuff across the team that we don't need to be doing, and I can actually lower my employee costs, which benefits the company. Sometimes that's a self-defeating thing, but it's still, in our opinion, the professional response from a manager. Whether you're a manager and you have a director as a boss, or whether you're an individual contributor, doesn't matter.
Exactly. Okay, so to continue that theme then, and folks, this one or this section is really for the managers, those of you that lead a team, it's prepare performance files on your team. And folks, you can combine this with the reviews that you're going to write, but we recommend it be separate because reviews are often so limiting in what they ask for and ask about. And therefore, we'd recommend you do what amounts to a one pager on everybody on your team. And folks, we've got a Manager Tools performance review template. It's a document. You can find it under the tools menu in the template and form section of our website, manager-tools.com. And this document is essentially what we over here at Manager Tools use as our performance review process. And we're assuming here that you have another process that's much more in-depth and much more complex than a one-pager that has successes, opportunities for improvement, and guidance for the future. But again, you could use this theoretically for your performance review, but in this case, use this as that one-pager, that distilled version, if you will, of the review.
Yeah. And since we're talking about performance files, if you will, if you're a manager, you need to write interim reviews on your team. Now, in this case, normally when you would write a review, you'd ask for input, but obviously you're being covert a little bit. I use that word in the brightest possible way, not in the dark way. You can't ask for input from your team. Maybe if you were coming up on the end of a quarter and you do them quarterly, okay, you could do so. But you can still go through the process without that input. Write it as an annual review up until this point, regardless of how long it will be until the next annual review. There are exceptions, of course. Don't be silly. If you just ripped everybody's annual reviews 2 weeks ago, of course, fine. You don't have to. In fact, if you had just written their reviews and you're leaving, somebody will know that you have been planning this for a while and you waited until you wrote their reviews and delivered their reviews before you actually left, which typically would give you a plus one in the mind of your boss. And you'll write it as an annual, even if maybe you only have 6 months or 9 months or 3 or 4 months. And the reason for that is because you don't want to leave the new manager having to do an annual review, which has the weight of any other annual review, with only maybe 4 months. I mean, even if you leave with only 3 months under your belt, maybe they don't get a replacement for 3 months or 6 months. And so they only know them for 3 months. They lose the middle 6 months and you didn't give them the first 3 months. That's not fair. And by the way, it's one of the things I hate about performance review systems, and nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to have any interest in doing it better.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's hard work. I mean, to create reviews for individuals when you're on your way out, the performance review system is hard enough to begin with. But folks, this step is all about your team. You leaving the next manager unprepared is a black mark on you and it hurts your team.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do it? Okay. And then the next one on our list is prepare instructions for your absence. Now, this is separate from what I was talking about earlier, the projects and deliverables. What we would ask you to do, or what we would suggest you do, is review your calendar day by day and week by week for the next 3 months. Remember, you'll be there for a month. Describe activities that have to be covered, replacements that have to be sent, delegations that have to happen, reports or presentations that need to be prepared, all of the things that are required to fulfill your duties, your go to your meetings, essentially, for the next 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you can easily listen to that and say, okay, how does that apply to an individual contributor like me? Totally works just fine. Slightly different, but not hard to figure out. Next item is prepare a one-page interim successor document. It's just what it says. Simple, one-pager on why, say, team member Rebecca, who works for you, should be the interim manager, right? You're essentially making a case. I think this person... Now, look, if she's your number two, that's very easy. It should be very straightforward. But it wouldn't hurt to give this extra little boost. I certainly would appreciate it if I were your director. Okay. Sarah said Rebecca is the one that should take her place. Okay, fine. Rebecca, are you aware that Sarah was going to put you up as her number two?
Hopefully.
You're now managing the team. Let me know what you need help. Describe strengths and weaknesses and why Rebecca is best suited for the role. And frankly, if you want to put a little oomph into it, this may very well become a promotion document for Rebecca. Or the other way to think of it is you're just easing your boss of one more decision. Don't make your old boss ask. Tell her, hey, if you're thinking about it, if you need an interim boss, the person you want is this. Now, some of you have bosses. You're a manager, your director, knows your team really well.
Yeah.
And knows who your number two is. And then won't have any problem. It's still a good idea to remind them to support that person whom you think it should be. And it's definitely a good idea if, as for many of you, we expect you managers, your director doesn't know anything about your directs. They don't care. They're focused upward and you need to help them through the process.
Yeah. And folks, if you were an individual contributor, there would be nothing wrong with you looking through the list of activities for which you are responsible and coming up with something akin to an interim successor document and essentially say, I think that this item topically should go to Randy. And I think this item topically should go to Marcus. And this topic should go to Claire. Whatever the reasoning is behind that would also be really a super beneficial to your organization. Again, assume somebody needs to do it. And if there are logical people that could be tasked with items, then let the organization know who those people are and why.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last piece of the prep steps is tell no one. Now, Horstman's sixth law is there are no secrets. So just think for a moment about the number of people at the acquiring firm that know you're leaving. They don't need any help.
Yeah.
Right? Other than your spouse, tell nobody. Tell nobody at your current work. Do not tell your most trusted work friend, your most trusted confidant, not even your admin, if you've got an admin. Don't tell anybody. Tell no one that you're leaving.
Yeah. And by the way, if you do tell your spouse, and of course, I think we think you should, we recommend you do, you tell your spouse nothing. And, you know, there's a rule that you can't bind someone else to confidentiality with their spouse. If I tell a friend of mine something, I can't tell her, you can't tell your husband or your wife, okay? Can't do that. But you can say to your spouse, you can't tell anybody. What happens is spouses tell other spouses. And once that spouse hears, he will tell his husband or his wife, and now the cat's out of the bag. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I say, that's why my six laws, there are no secrets. Unless you tell a dead guy. That's the sure thing.
Yeah, or a tree, or dog. You can tell your dog.
Yeah, your dog listens well. Tell a golden retriever. They always look so happy to listen. Like, I love you too.
And they won't tell any of their friends.
No, they won't tell.
Thanks, folks. Join us again next week as we continue this topic. Now help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.